It's Power Hour LSU.
Alrighty, I'm not gonna lie, there hasn't been a regular season loss that has depressed me quite like yesterday. We were so close to finally getting over the hurdle that is Dawn Staley, and I want to talk about what has been a big discussion topic about women's basketball, which is the crunch time games. So what I decided to do was something I normally don't do when it comes to my women's basketball coverage. I went into football analytics mode, and basically this wasn't any kind of fancy analytic. I just went back and did some basic counting stats to see how LSU performs in close games compared to all the other elite college basketball programs. And you will see when you compare us to the other schools that are truly elite in this sport, we have the lowest winning percentage when it comes to games decided by 10 points or less. So if you're listening to this via audio, we simply have not done well in the close games. Now, there's a few things you can take away from this. The first is that when we actually won the national championship in 2022, we, as a team, was really, really, really good in these 10-point or less games. We were 8-1 on the year. I think our only close game loss was to Tennessee in the SEC tournament. But overall, we were an awesome crunch time team, right? Of course, one result that was big for us was that game versus Utah versus Alyssa Peely. We found a way to win it in a close one towards the end of the year. Now, you take a look at now. Of the 28 games of the last 3 years that we have played that has been decided by 10 points or less, we are 14-14 with a .500 winning percentage. Now, normal logic would tell you that in closer games, you are going to be in a spot where the game can go either way. But the truth is, you take a look at some of these other teams, UConn is 4-3. They have played the fewest games that are close. But South Carolina, 11-3. UCLA, 14-4. USC, 27-14. Ohio State, 21-8. Texas, 20-11. Most of these teams are well above 500. Now, this isn't a be-all, end-all. This isn't a terrible thing that we've only played 28 close games, while there are quite a few teams that have played well into the 30s and 40s amount of close games. Some of it is because we just blow teams out. When we are on, we are truly on. But when you go even deeper into the numbers, and I literally spent all day looking into this, you do begin to see more trends in these close games. For whatever the case may be, we simply do not shoot free throws versus the better teams all that well. We just simply don't. A lot of those losses happen when we are shooting less than 70% from the free throw line. Something else happens in these closer games is that LSU this year in women's college basketball
is by far the leading scoring team when it comes to raw points per game. We average 95 points per game, which is a lot. But a good chunk of those numbers is, I guess you could say, stretched out because we do play a lot of these 150 to 90 kind of games, 150 to 33, which obviously is an extreme example. But we do blow out a lot of teams, and the score can mislead how good of an offensive team we are. Something else that happens in a lot of these close games that we play is that we can have some really tough, cold shooting nights from our guards. So last night, Jada was 1 of 10. Fawali was 1 of 8. We were 2 for 18 from that one guard position. And if you go down the list of a lot of these games that we have played, we do have a lot of these 1 of 10s, 2 of 11, 0 for 4s from players that play north of 20 minutes per game. So what I decided to do is take a look at every single LSU player that plays 15 or more minutes in a close game that we have played. And there are quite a few instances where we have those games, right? Obviously, one that really comes to mind last year when we played UCLA, we had Kaylin Gilbert come off the bench. She was one of our best bench players. Well, she was 0 for 7, and she played 15-plus minutes in that game. So what happens is if you have a team, which LSU historically is not that deep of a team, when you have a team that plays such a high volume of minutes, normally in these big games, we have four players that play at least 30 of the 40 minutes, which is a high volume of minutes. When you have your players that do play the extended minutes, and if those players are in particular cold in those minutes, it has a larger impact on the outcome of the game. When you look at some other teams that are a little bit deeper, if you're having an off night, I'll just bench you and I'll put you, someone else in. All right. And the reason why this is important for LSU is you look at someone like Bella Hines, right? Bella Hines played really well. Today, LSU women's basketball gave her the defensive player of the game. She's going to get more minutes. Grace Knox did some really good things in that third quarter. These are younger players that could start to take some of the minutes away from Jada, from Malaysia, if they continue to have these tough games versus some of the better teams on the schedule. And obviously, you take a look at Flage. She was fantastic last night. She missed those two free throws. She was the reason we were even in the game. It looked as if towards the end, we had deer in the headlights outside of Flage doing the things that she did. And that's why it's kind of misleading to put the blame on her for missing those final two free throws. Something else that, you know, was interesting, and I mostly just did a statistical deep dive, and I promise we're going to get to all your comments, is we do get a little stale in these fourth quarters, right? It seems as if we're a little bit more free-flowing in the earlier portions of the game. Transition is a bigger deal. But as many of you know, if you've watched basketball for a very long time, in the fourth quarter where everyone's legs are tired, everyone plays just a little bit slower, it does become more of a half-court game. We do need to be better at executing in those final moments. So, look, I normally don't do these. I'm not looking for a gazillion views on these. But last night, I truly could not sleep because I really, really, really wanted that victory. I still have a lot of faith in Kim Mulkey. I still have a lot of faith in Malaysia and obviously Flage and Michaela in particular. But I do think LSU, when it comes to these big games, you do need to start asking some big, big, big time questions. Who should we have out there? What is our plan offensively? Why are we not shooting free throws better in these big games? Why are we oftentimes under 70% from the foul line in these big games? One thing that has been very interesting for LSU is field goal percentage-wise, we weren't really that good of a shooting team. This year, we are above 50%. Last year, there was only one team of above 50% shooting. That was UConn. This year, we're one of four or so teams that is above 50%. Is that because we have blown out so many teams and we have played, you know, an easy non-conference? I don't know. But we are statistically a better shooting team. It's just in these close games, you know, a lot of people made a big deal about the Kentucky loss. I thought we played good enough to win in that Kentucky game. They just made some ridiculous shots there at the end, and they were able to win. Vanderbilt was a little bit rougher when you first watched, but when you dive a little bit deeper, Flage getting hurt and, you know, going 0-for in that game. Since then, LSU has played better, but you take a look at that Texas fourth quarter where the game was close at halftime. It was close in the third quarter. Fourth quarter, it just wasn't where it needed to be. Then versus South Carolina, I was very pleased with us. It looked as if South Carolina was just the slightly better team. And the fact that we found a way to keep it close down the stretch, it gave us a shot to win. But it gets down to a lot of the things that do decide these close games. How are you shooting from the foul line? How are you executing down the stretch? What are your turnovers like? You know, I saw a lot of people point to turnovers. Turnovers, we were fine. We only had 9 turnovers last night. So, look, I'm no Rebecca Lobo. I'm not Audrea Carter, even though we share a name. I will tell you, though, we have got to be better in these close games. And that's what decides it. It just is. If you're going to take anything away from me leading with this, LSU 8-1 in our national championship year in games decided by 10 points or less. Since then, we're 14-14. We have got to be better in the close games. Now, remember, statistically, if there was just a math guy just listening to this, what they would tell you is we are due for close game regression to go in our favor. In other words, if we are 500 and most of these other good teams are oftentimes winning 2 out of every 3, they're around that 66% win mark, as you just saw a minute ago. We'll show it to you again. If more of these better teams are in the 66% or higher, and we're at the 50%, that means we're winning 1 out of every 2 close games that we play, and the other teams are winning 2 out of every 3. That means some close game luck is starting to, or will begin to start heading our way. Something else is we have blown out some good teams. I know we made a big deal about blowing out some of these really bad teams. We blew the brakes off of Alabama. They're a good team. We blew the brakes off Oklahoma at their house. They're a really good team. So the sky isn't falling. Is this team going to win the national championship? I doubt it, but I don't think it is full panic mode. The only thing I would say, though, is we don't know if we're going to get a chance at Dawn again this year, and I want to beat her so bad. I really, really, really do. Now, this will probably be one of the few times outside of a post-game show where I do a statistical deep dive. I know a lot of people are used to the Sunday football deep dive. I decided to give you something a little bit different because the discussion, of course, is what can this magical team do this year? There are some football things I want to get into. And before we get to any of your comments, shout out to LSU baseball getting the sweep. I do need to address my Beth Tarina love after what happened versus UCLA today. That was tough. That was tough. Beth Tarina is on the hottest seat maybe in the entire state of Louisiana right now. That was tough. That was really, really, really tough. But I want to remain positive here. Love seeing Lane Kiffin at Mardi Gras. We're going to get to Lane Kiffin's tweets here in about 15. And then, of course, more importantly, I'm so freaking excited about LSU baseball. I think I witnessed the absolute best slide I've ever seen from an LSU baseball player. Derek Curiel sliding in the third a little bit earlier. I wasn't even really able to sit and lock it and watch that baseball game because I was just so deep into the statistical abyss of basically counting everybody's games. It took me 2 or 3 hours to do that. I don't know if I'm going to do it again, though. Let's get to as many comments as we can. We say hi, of course, to Chicago Cheetah. We've never seen you before. Good to see you. You say that the best team doesn't always win. It's the team that gets the right bracket. You're right about that. You know, we just don't know. We really, really, really don't know what that bracket's going to look like. But what I do know is that for you to win it all, unless you're UConn from last year, you're going to have to be ready to win some of these close games. It's out of Christopher on Facebook, Bayou Bingle. There's a discussion, you know, when I open up Twitter to ask people, hey, what do you think is a big deal? Do you think we are having some issues with women's basketball in these close games? A lot of people pointed to the bigs. Now, let me start by saying Katie Koval is not bad. You can make a case that she should play a little bit more. And then Joyner has done some really good things. That's not the best big to have in a small ball lineup, but Joyner does her job well. Obviously, Samaya Smith is no longer with us. Angel, of course, is the GOAT alongside Sylvia Fowles. We don't have that level of player, which is why the Caroline Bradley recruitment is so absolutely positively massive. You know, it's interesting. We did what we could with Sarah Williams. She decided to go to UConn, and she very well could be the difference between us having an extra 4 or 5 wins, if we're being honest. We only have 4 or 5 losses at this point, but you get the point. Let's go to Thomas Wayne. Top guards on this team, not enough bigs. Those South Carolina girls are huge. Yeah, they are bigger than us. Obit having a career game wasn't great for us last night. But, you know, I'm still a believer in this team, though. I feel as if, and I think a lot of you feel this way, that this is probably an Elite Eight team. And if we get to the Elite Eight with this team, it's pretty good. Pretty good. You know, you would have liked to have won another Natty in the Flauge era, but you won one with her. Let's keep it going with Cole. The Bigs got the rebounds and blocked out really well. Let's go to Jay Wade. The LSU guards let them down last night. Yeah, I do think it was more guard-related yesterday. So what we can do before we get into some baseball and some football stuff here, I actually still have all my research pulled up here. All right. I really, and look, it's not good for the algorithm. How do YouTube strategists tell me this? Just stick with football, like all the time. Lane Kiffin this, Lane Kiffin that. I got to be honest. I love women's basketball so much. I really do. It's my favorite thing to do play by play for is women's basketball. I'm serious. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through all these slides that I put together from earlier. So this was the South Carolina game from yesterday. And this is the perfect example. This game had everything in it that LSU, I found trend-wise, that leads them to losing these close games. All right, so the first thing I want you to look at is the free throw percentage. So as you can see, we got beat really bad from 3. We were 2 of 12. They were 8 of 17. But threes are hard. Free throws, though, are not hard. They were 15 of 17 from the foul line. We were 14 of 23. That's just not good enough. All right? Something else you will see. Take a look at the right side of your screen. And if you're listening to this via audio, we'll break it down for you audibly. Malaysia Fulwiley, 24 minutes. It's one thing if you go 1 of 8. But it's another thing when you go 1 of 8 when you've played more than half of the game. She was 1 of 8, 3 turnovers in 24 minutes. And then your other true point guard, Jada, 7 of 10 or 1 of 10. In 30 minutes. So like Jay Wade has pointed out, we have got to be better. That's not a knock. That's not, it's me not being a fan. It would tell you the same thing. Okay. Let's go to another game. The Texas game. This was a game I attended. Made a last second trip. 8 hours both ways. You'll see it again here. Free throw line. We were fine. 9 of 14. Not bad, not great. Flage, 3 of 14. Jada, 1 of 10. It's really, really hard to win these games when the players that are playing a good chunk of your minutes are shooting less than 30% from the field. And there's a lot of these. You'll see the same trends. And not shooting from the free throw line all that great. 9 of 14 is good enough, though. That is good enough. But goodness, we have so many games that we play versus the elite teams where you'll have those stat lines. 2 of 12 from the field. And I think it's a couple of things. The first thing is we don't generate easy shots. You know, I've seen a lot of criticism for Mikayla Williams, and I get it, right? I think Mikayla would also say, hey, I wish I could play better in these moments. But when I go back and I watch these games, I feel a little bit different in that Mikayla is being asked to bail us out of situations where we need someone to just shoot it. So I do think there is a question of, is there a way we can generate better shots? Is there a way? I swear, dude, I am all in on this team finding a way to get it done in March. All right, let's go to the game versus Texas earlier in the year that we won. Our best free throw shooting game of the year, arguably. 15 of 19. So like the South Carolina game, we did not shoot the three well. But we were still 15 of 19 from the foul line. That is elite. Now we still had a couple of these low field goal shooting games. Jada was 2 of 7. Malaysia was 3 of 13. So you're starting to see a trend, okay? Should Bella Hines start to get more playing time? Let's go to Vanderbilt from earlier in the year. Free throw line, 8 of 13. That's not bad. 61%. You would like to have that be a little bit higher. Vanderbilt themselves didn't shoot the free throw all that well. But once again, you have multiple players here. Flage got hurt, so you don't want to, you know, go too in there. This game wasn't that bad for me, though. It was on the road, tough environment. Do I think we could have executed better? Sure. But this was a game that was one of the first close games that we played. It was our first close road game, and you could see it with 22 turnovers. Okay. Now, this is a game that a lot of people were frustrated with when we lost on a buzzer beater to Kentucky. I thought we actually played well in this game. I do. Now, once again, versus a better team, Malaysia Fulwiley, 1 of 6 in 17 minutes with 2 points. It was a tough go. It was a tough go. But you notice, free throw line, we were fine. 13 of 15. That's very good. That's very, very, very good. We only had 8 turnovers. They just hit an absolutely ridiculous shot and won the game off of that shot. That's going to happen. So understand, you know, when I talk about close games, you're going to have the other team just sometimes hitting something ridiculous to win the game. And it happens. Yeah, Pegasus, there was some of that, but LSU was good enough to win that game. Dude, I had one South Carolina fan in my comments yesterday talking about what I said about Raven Johnson. I didn't even say anything bad. I just said she was Perry Ellis. That's it. And which is basically a joke that you've played forever. And she's been there forever. She's damn good, though. She is damn good. So, yeah, type Y for yes, type N for no. I still have all these games pulled up. I still have all, these are all the games. All the teams. I have another sheet full of notes from earlier today. Damn it, I have already made the decision. This is becoming a women's basketball channel only. That's it. Until we win an Addy. So there you go. I do want to shift gears here briefly to talk about LSU baseball. Obviously, you want to sweep. It's a weird thing. It's kind of like, you know, there's going to be so many fans that are just going to be waiting for regionals, which can't get here soon enough. There's no better postseason than college baseball regionals and super regionals. What I would say about what transpired, you know, you felt the pitching was a little, I don't know if I'd say weak. It could have been better, but overall, you sweep, you come back. The story was game one. Milwaukee made a lot of mistakes. You know, that sharply hit ball to third that should have been a double play earlier today. You know, you see those kinds of things. It's this, what was the stat? Milwaukee plays their first 20 games on the road. This team's really good. That's all there is to it. I know it's early. I know the SEC is ridiculously deep. I know it's hard to be truly elite in two straight years. And obviously, the sandwich year where we lost to North Carolina, we started off a little slow, and then we eventually started to turn it on, and we lost to a very good North Carolina team in the Supers. But we won it all last year. Man, I love watching this team, though. I really, really, really do. Milam, good day today. Curiel, good day today. I still can't get over that slide by Curiel at third. I love a good slide. The head first, moving your hand around to the back of the bag, one of the more ridiculous things you'll see. It doesn't look like truly spectacular, but you have got to be a truly special athlete to pull that off. Now, I do want to talk a little bit of football before we get to what did Lane tweet today. You know, I don't think people quite understand what's going on at some of these other SEC schools. You know, I saw this debate between an Alabama YouTuber named Clint Lamb, who is really good, and Marquise Mays, who was a great wide receiver at Alabama. And there is a growing amount of frustration with Alabama fans and former Alabama players. And that frustration lies with these players that say, well, the Alabama standard is not being met. They're talking about the Alabama standard. What weak-minded people do that follow sports and are sports fans. They don't realize how much stuff changes from one period to the next. And so much has changed in college football from when Marquise Mays and Reggie Ragland and even Josh Jacobs and Damian Harris. And I'm not even talking about Coach Saban. I'm talking about everything. All right, just I want to just share this simple truth. Last year, Indiana won the national championship. That is the single biggest thing that showed you how much college football has changed. But that is just one team. That's just one team. The runner-up for the Heisman Trophy was someone from Vanderbilt. It's everywhere. And the thing that Marquise Mays was complaining about was Alabama apparently took some three-star receiver. It was something along those lines. I don't want to get into the specifics because you're not here to hear about Alabama. But this idea that anything that was working in college football 10 years ago is going to work now is crazy. Yeah, obviously some things still work. RPOs still work. But the actual structure of the sport is so different. When Marquise Mays was playing college football, you could only bring in 25 players total. That's it. That's how many new guys you could bring in every single year. LSU brought in 56 players. More than double the amount of new players you could bring in. Scholarship totals are about to go from 85 to 105. There is a cap. There is now a 9-game conference schedule. There is now changes in how the SEC is even structured. There's two more teams. There's an expanded college football playoff. There are general managers now. Guess what? Everything I just said about college football doesn't even apply to Marquise Mays. That applies during the Joe Burrow era. That was 6 years ago. That's it. That's how much everything has changed. So when you start getting into, well, the standard's not being met. Well, this is the truth about the standard. The only standard that a good college football program has now is that you are willing to change. There is no hard set of rules outside of general non-specific ones, such as be a good teammate. Show up on time. All that mumbo jumbo that applies to every other job in America. But as far as the specifics, to how you deal with players specifically, to how you build a roster, to the type of recruit, to the how many high school guys versus how many transfer portal guys, it's a completely different sport. It really is. And it's wild to even think about comparing anything from then until now. Now, understand, I am perfectly fine with doing the fun debate of 2019 LSU versus 2013 Florida State. Like, those things are fun. Or 2001 Miami versus 2013 Florida State, or whatever comparison you want to make. But so much of it changes. All right, understand, so much of this game has changed. Now, coming up next, we'll take a look at what Lane Kiffin tweeted today.
Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LaBoardTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LaBoardTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LaBoardTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region.
All righty, here's what Lane Kiffin tweeted today. Him and Cookie in Boca Raton. There you go. Taking a flight. The Baton Rouge Rougarou hat. How about that? Start of an amazing day. I'm going to go to this coffee. By the way, Lane, I will be in Baton Rouge next weekend. I'd love to meet up for a cup. Play next. Next. Play neck. Some Mardi Gras yesterday. And there you go. That's pretty much what Lane Kiffin tweeted today. We went over all these Mardi Gras tweets from yesterday. So there you go. I'll tell you this. Mardi Gras is one of the countries, if not the best, celebration I could think of. What is Mardi Gras for exactly? Just fun. What's it a festival celebrating? Well, you guys know the history, but it's mostly celebrating life. You know, it's funny. You think of Mardi Gras as there's a lot of New Orleans locals that go out of town for Mardi Gras. And I get that, but there's still so many locals that still celebrate it every year. I love that the entire state of Louisiana celebrates it. It's not just New Orleans. It's not just Baton Rouge with Spanish Town. It's everything, right? And, you know, the thing that I really appreciated about Lane and Mardi Gras is that Lane is sober. You know, growing up, when I was in high school, my buddies drank. I didn't. I was anti-drinking. I never quite understood the hype around drinking alcohol. I just didn't get it. But then as time moved on, I partaked in a few soda pops. And I like a good drink. I like getting a good buzz. I like a good party night. I don't mind a good rager. But it was symbolic to me yesterday that Lane Kiffin, who's a top five celebrity in the state of Louisiana, co-grand marshal of this parade, doesn't drink. It goes to show you that you can have fun without drinking. And I understand there's plenty of people that probably watch his channel or watch other things and you see people drinking and having a good time and all that stuff. And I've DJed dry weddings before, and those people rage just as hard as the people that do drink. So, you know, I thought that was cool. Thought that was really cool, because what do most people associate with Mardi Gras? Well, the colors, obviously. The celebration, the floats, the beads. But a lot of people like to it's crazy, man. It's crazy. I saw a tweet somewhere that said, hey, if Lane can prevent drinking while at Mardi Gras, then he truly is sober. And it is tempting. You know, you'll see people beyond tore up having a good time in Mardi Gras. I will tell you, Mardi Gras drunk is probably the best kind of drunk. Because if you're drunk at a concert, well, you spend all that money to go to the concert, you don't remember any of it. I remember back in college, there was a huge Ludacris concert for free on the LSU Parade Grounds. And I had always, Luda was my guy. And I got too drunk. I did not remember any of it. It was the drunkest I'd ever been up to that point. I went to a beer festival, went to a bar before it, and it was nuts. Fell asleep on a floor. Didn't enjoy it. So, you know, it's one of those things where you never, and I hated that because I didn't really get to enjoy the music. Mardi Gras, it's like, that's what everyone's expecting you to do. We'll do this. Pegasus says, did I see any of the NBA All-Star game? Yeah, I watched a good chunk of it. I did. I enjoyed it. I like the fact that it was on earlier. Seemed like everyone was playing. You know, it's a lot easier to break up those games into 10-minute quarters instead of like a full game. You did see defense. You did see close games. So I do think it was a step in the right direction. But obviously, you know, there's going to be all kinds of think pieces on All-Star Weekend and all of it. And this was definitely one of the more political All-Star games. And I kind of crept into it. But, you know, it was definitely a better All-Star format. You know, one thing, and this is one more college baseball thing. Sometimes, and I was going to say this for later, but I want to get into this. Sometimes outsiders are correct about things. They just are. College baseball is so much better with the pitch clock. It's so much better. And even if the pitch clock is, let's just say they took the pitch clock away from college baseball. And it just doesn't exist anymore. Well, what happens is it does seem as if the game still moves faster. Like it still feels like the game has pace to it. And I love that. It does not feel like college baseball games take forever. And if you remember, just baseball in general, it was foot off the mound, batter out of the box, none of that stuff that meant anything. And the baseball purists were so on their high horse about, oh, we don't want that. Baseball is not beholden to a clock or whatever. It's better. I played baseball. It wasn't my favorite. It's still not my favorite. So I am the target viewer. Am I not? I'm the one that's on the fringe. I kind of like it, but I'm more willing to sit and watch a baseball game knowing that it just moves and moves and moves. Next pitch, next pitch, next pitch. It's great. It's a great product. And I'll tell you this, man. I'm very lucky to have a lot of Arkansas friends. I went to high school in Arkansas. A lot of my closest friends live in Fayetteville. They had a huge Saturday night basketball game versus Auburn, but they also had a huge weekend series in a major league park, I think in Houston, and they filled a major league baseball park up with Arkansas fans for a season opener, regular season game. It's crazy. College baseball will continue to grow. It'll continue to grow. If LSU was playing in that, it would have been even bigger. Chicago says we've been the number one rebounding team for some years now. Let's see. Before I get into this next topic, let's go to LSU Monster. Hey, Carter, what made you want to be a beat reporter? Yeah, what made me want to do sports media is I love it. That's all I ever wanted to do. Now I'm kind of in the mode that I want to play sports again. But yeah, I love doing this. I do. I love play-by-play. I'm getting to do my first remote broadcast this next Saturday, so that's a lot of fun. But yeah, I love it. Now, I will say I'm not a beat reporter, though. That would be like Wilson Alexander. But that's not here nor there. But I am very happy to be doing this. Chicago Bayou Tigers has been absolutely wonderful in the chat tonight. There's Reggie. Yeah, they've already changed that for next year because we are playing UConn to start the year. Seth Dardar has the best name ever made. The best LSU baseball teams have these teams, though, where you have so many guys that would be starters elsewhere that are competing to get regular playing time here. I heard Ben McDonald mention that in game three today. Everybody's trying to get more playing time. I remember thinking that Ashton Larson was going to be the next Mikey Mattuck. I still think he's good. It's just, you know, it's hard to play outfield at LSU. Was it Leon Landry came off the bench in some games? Cheetah says, I think in big games we need to play the bench more. Yeah, it's just not what Kim does. I mean, she plays a lot of players a good chunk of minutes. You know, most of our box scores over the years are these lineups where we're playing of the 40 potential minutes, four of the five players are playing 30 plus minutes. Now, what I would say is some of that is because at this level, the players that you recruit as secondary players, they don't pan out. They just don't. I noticed this as well, and this is at a lower level. Now, once again, this is nowhere close. Most of the women's games that I do call, I would say probably one out of every 50 players go on to play SEC P4 level ball. But you do see this as well where the drop off from the starters to the bench is so drastic in women's compared to men's. Maybe I'm just totally wrong on that, but I've noticed that at all levels, from the WNBA all the way down to the high school. But maybe I'm wrong on that. I will never do a Lynn Rollins. Pucker up and kiss that baby goodbye. Lynn's great, man. I got to call LSU Nichols baseball game. And I got to see Lynn after the broadcast. He, of course, was doing the TV, and I was doing the radio for Nichols. It was a lot of fun. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to next 5 to 10, we're going to take as many as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep this party moving. Let's see here. Kansas State fires Jerome Tang. Michael Jordan won a NASCAR race, Daytona 500. Okay. No big deal. Let's see. Okay, LSU baseball will play tomorrow versus Kent State. Game has been moved to 6 p.m. Central. So we will go. I don't know. I might take tonight. I might take tomorrow night off. I don't want to compete against LSU baseball. Not doing that. LSU men's basketball did play versus Tennessee this past weekend. And yeah, we played. What baseball team at LSU is the GOAT? Yeah, I think 2023 is the best team, most talented team. But you know, I'm not qualified really to give you the answer to that. But to me, 2023 is my team. Not my favorite team, though. 09's my favorite team, personally. If there is breaking news tomorrow, we'll go live at 5. Oh, I remind you of Eric Collins. Oh, I don't know if that's good or not. And I love Eric Collins. I just want, when you hear me broadcast a game, I just want you to hear me. I want you to enjoy me. But I've gotten that before. I've gotten Eric Collins. But yeah, I like Eric Collins. Cole says I love Gorilla Ball. I do too. It's a lot more fun. Peter Burns says 49 strikeouts this weekend was the most ever in an LSU 3-game series. I love that. And I want to show you this right here. God, dude, I love this. From the LSU strength and conditioning staff. So I'm a gym nerd now. I don't know why I'm having this midlife crisis from being an average athlete. I'm trying to become an elite athlete at 37. These bikes are the hardest thing. Dude, those bites are brutal. I'll play the floor. I gotta turn the music off. I kind of like this a little bit more conditioning. There's Seton. Yeah, single leg. But I kid you not, these air bikes are insanely difficult, dude. They burn like a mofo. God. I love it, man. Love it. There you go, Pegasus. You get a weak spot for me. I did not talk about Jake Olson yet. Yeah, so safeties coach Jake Olson takes the job with the Commanders. So, you know, there's many that have brought up Tyrann Mathieu. Does Tyrann really want to do this, though? He just retired. He's got so much money. And his kids are starting to go through, like, recruitment. Would he be great at it? Yeah, he'd probably be better than Jake Olson, who was really good last year, which is why I got an NFL job. But if you're Tyrann and you're just to look at this with someone who had a career a lot like yours, Kyle Williams had a longer NFL career than anyone expected. It's a beloved LSU icon. Now, obviously, Tyrann's at a different level, but when it comes to being an icon, but Kyle was a very good player at LSU. Tyrann was a phenomenal player at LSU. Kyle wasn't coaching P4 ball. He was coaching high school ball. He comes in and is back coaching high school ball again. So why did he do that? I don't know. Did LSU really want to move on? I don't think so, no. I just think if position coaches were more of the Kyle Williams type, which is a former player that was a very good former player, you would see more of those former players as position coaches. Now, there are some. Obviously, Jason Taylor at Miami is one. Brian Hartline, who's now a head coach. Jim Leonard is a coordinator, which is different. But, yeah, you don't really see a whole heck of a lot of elite player to position coach pipeline. I would say there's probably two or three in every conference. You know, we just had DeMarco Murray finally make that leap to the NFL with the Oklahoma. So, you know, obviously it would be cool to have Tyrann as a coach on our team. He would make us a better team. But I also think Tyrann is happy he's doing the media thing. And there you go. All right, y'all, that'll do it for me. I really do appreciate each and every one of you. Let me know if you want more deeper cut women's basketball analysis, and probably no live stream tomorrow, so be on the lookout just in case we do. It is pow out LSU boom. Tonight we are doing Catfish. Let's go.